toward 1999, the outlook and the perspective for this year. Now, if you're a student of numerics, you should grow quite interested in just simply the numerical value of that number, 1999. Why? Well, one is unity, and nine is finality and judgment. You can't get much more judgment crammed into one year within, as far as the numerical value goes, than that, especially when one also stands for our Father in His oneness. And if you're a part of Him, you're a member of that oneness. So our Father's judgment, that's basically what the year signifies. Now, don't get all nervous and quickie about it. It's just a number. But at the same time, it's something you want to observe, for certainly as we come to that threefold judgment of our fathers, look around you. Look what's happening in this world. And many of you that have traveled the world over, you know deep within your heart, there's something that is just not quite right. In other words, by that, let me qualify that. Somewhere it would seem that someone doesn't have humanity's best interest at heart. Because we are seeing basic facts being produced that rather than pulling people together in unity to the Father, Satan seems to be unifying people unto himself. And with that, I want to talk just a moment about religion for this coming year. The Oxford Press published a very interesting article that there is a new, it has a connection with the New Age movement, and it's called unity. And IRU, something of that nature, International Unity of Religion, all right, or Religious Unity. And those of you that still believe in the fact that there might be a serpent, all right, you know, if they choose the name serpent rather than Satan because they want someone who is a realist in the world to think of a snake rather than the devil, the destroyer, he that mixes up, that the believers of this that cannot recognize or come into the evolution, weigh my word well, evolution of time, that those that must still hang to the doctrine of Christ must be done away with as the dinosaur. Okay. Yeah, this was in the Oxford Press this past, this December, the month of December. And that this new religion would pull everyone into unity, and God is the good within each man and woman. Is there anything new about that? No. The New Age movement has taught that and preached it. But there's one thing about it. They intend to really christen their little ship for the year 2000. So that's all the more appropriate from, do we have to worry about that? Of course not. Of course not. Nothing should jar your faith, and that's why you must maintain focus. You must focus on the Word of God. It doesn't matter a great deal what man says. So there we've covered the very year itself. It's an exciting year. Let me talk just a moment about the Euro dollar. It's interesting that we have 11 nations, 11 being disorder, okay, that as of the 1st, which we're, 3 days into that now, the euro dollar, or the euro exchange, so to speak. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of it or not. Is there anything new about that? Not really, when you really put the magnifying glass to it. It is also interesting at the same time that the UK and most of the Americas, naturally, because we're not Europeans as far as geographical, we're not in that. But what do they do? they must all hinge and hang to this one given rate of exchange. Your American dollar will buy you 1.16 or 17, I forget which. A dollar and 17 cents will get you 1 euro unit. That's not new, all right? Not a thing new about it. If you, for instance, my friends from Mexico, if they want to come to America, they must exchange certain monies, or they're in for a headache, you know. You go up and say, give me 10 pesos of fuel, petrol, you know, and they're, what? I know these people in Arkansas. They don't know how much gas a peso will buy, you know. So, you know, it creates a problem. So, this way, they do have a given rate of exchange. Now, the United Kingdom did not participate. America did not participate. Mexico did not participate. Canada did not participate. Ireland did, and a few other countries. A gentleman from Japan this morning said, I think it's wonderful. He said, finally, at last, we're going to have something that will be bigger and maybe better than the American dollar. And at the same time, it will teach people unity. So that seems to be your buzzword for the year, is unity. Why would it not, with 19, with the number 1, being unity at the very start? But be careful what, this is a warning, be careful what you unify yourself with. Very important, because you are at the time of the crossroads. The crossroads where some people are going into unity with Satan, that is to say by deception, not willingly, not knowingly, but by deception of the world. And many will continue, they will remain focused on the Word of God, know that His promises are true. And all you have to do is live it and claim it, it's yours. Okay, I want to say one more thing about the euro dollar. Where did it get its start? I think this is at least important. I have an entire chronological order, but I think the beginning and the, I won't say the end, I think all of you know what the, there will be more joined into this until ultimately, when you get into the one world system, you're going to have a one world currency. You know that, and it's from our Father's Word. That's a ways down the road. But I think it's important that you know about 1951, when this concept first came forth. And let me just read it to you, if I may. France, West Germany, Italy, and the Benelux states signed a treaty in March in Paris to create the European Coal and Steel Community. Now, this was your beginning. This is the roots. The precursor to the European Community, the community which provided the early framework for European integration, was inaugurated in August of 1952. That was over, for your information, make a mental note of it, coal, like you dig from a mine, a coal mine, and steel. Those two products. That, if you stop and think a moment, see, that brings commerce into this. Now, at the same time, there's nothing new, but I feel that probably we will see one of the highest deficit years that we've ever seen because of the condition, world conditions at this time. Does that mean anything to you? Well, not really. Just play your cards close to your chest. Well, maybe that's a bad analogy, but be that as it may, all right? It'll get the job done. Watch what you do, in other words, and know and understand. Don't do anything that you don't recognize that it could be by the fall. Things might be a little bit close, not tight, but a little bit closer, perhaps, than they were this fall because of the deficits. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to really be out there. So, coal and steel brought you into this situation. Whoops. I lost my notes but down there, but I didn't need them anyway, but maybe I'd better pick them up. So, 1999. I hope you enjoy the year because you can. Why? Your Father promised wherever you are, whenever you are, when you're with Him and in His Word, that you have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. Why? Man only fears what he doesn't understand. And God explains all things to you, so why should you fear? Especially when you know His protecting hand is over you, your family, when you use common sense. Just keep using your old hip, all right? And you'll be all right. Okay, where do we find ourselves in Scripture? The Scriptures that came to my mind because of this, some of you will find it relevant, that it would have to do with it. Some of you may not, but be that as it may, this is what came to my mind. Deuteronomy 28. It's going to be very simple. It's what our Father promised us concerning the nations and how that applies to you. Deuteronomy 28, way back there in the law, but it's a very active law. It's still very much in effect if you wish to take God's common sense advisement, whereby you're successful. Whether you're successful or not, that's your choice. You're always successful when you do it God's way, right, with His blessings. With that having been said, chapter 28, verse 1. This is, incidentally, you might say, kind of a Old Testament Beatitudes. It tells you, it gives you both the Beatitudes of Matthew, and then in Matthew 23, it also kind of gives you the woes, if you would, all right? Straight from the Old Testament. And it shall come to pass, in verse 1, if thou shalt hearken, listen, diligently, that means sincerely, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will, not maybe, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And this doesn't matter what nation you're in. When you follow God, He will protect you. All right? Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I don't want you to ever forget this word. This is why so many people have shortfalls. It's I-F, if. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, if you'll follow His footsteps, if you follow His advice, if you do it His way. Many people have to invent the wheel over and over. I think I know a better way. And boom, boom, they run around on a square wheel all their life. Boom, boom. When it said, listen to the Father, it could have been so blessed and so smooth. If is a big word. And quite frankly, if you don't pay attention to the ifs, you might as well not pray. Because that's a condition. And if you don't meet your part of the condition, I'm sorry, you're out. You missed it. You don't qualify. Better luck next time, Charlie. Okay? It's a big word, and the reason I emphasize that is that it's so very important that you absorb it. Many people are brought up in the old school, all you have to do is ask, and God loves His little children. No, God says, if. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. That means if you follow God's word, number one, you're, even if the city is dangerous, what? God says take care of yourself, so you're not going to a dangerous part of the city. You got it? You're going to use common sense, and you're going to do business in that city whereby you're successful. Because you know the pitfalls of those that participate in the curse. Right? Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, everything you touch, you're going to have a few mishaps sometimes. That, you know what that is for? When you have one of those bad times and bad years, that's checking your okra. Checking your, to see what you're made out of, okay? And So God saying, this is one of my favorite children here. I depend on them so much. I've been blessing them so much, and everything's going so smooth. I'm going to derail them down here and just enjoy watching them fix it. Okay? I mean, that really, he likes that. It makes his day when you can take something that looks like a sour apple and you turn it into an apple pie, you know, or fritter. It just really makes his day when you work things out for yourself. Asking his guidance, sure, no problem. But he wants successful people that pay attention to if. Some people cannot get that through their head. It's just like they like to go up to a brick wall and just keep bloodying themselves over and over and over. It won't work. You're losing, and you're will always be a loser. Be blessed instead, okay? Be blessed. Make God proud of you. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, your store is your barn or your cellar or that place, your pantry, as many might say, where you stock that food that you look forward to using if it came a great ice storm and you had to go 2 or 3 weeks just eating canned food. You'd have a good supply of fruits and vegetables and all those types of goodies, you know, there put away that would keep well. And just to be prepared. That's the only common sense. People should do that whether they be Christian or not. They should take care of themselves. It's a lot like the Y2K, which I intended to mention. And I suppose this is a good place to do it. We live in a computer age. And many of you have seen this blossom, and it's good. But certain people are overplaying the issue. You know, airplanes will fall from the sky. That's a bunch of malarkey, all right? Way back before we even had radios, hardly, and by that I mean the old low freak, what jobs you'd waste can today, when you file the flight plan, you have every procedure, even to this day, of what you should do if you totally lose everything so that you have a safe arrival and landing. It's the same way, and I won't give any numbers or figures, but it's the same way with on an airliner. A pilot doesn't have to say, I'm hijacked. All he has to do is hanky with his transponder to a set of numbers, and bang, they know it instantly. This plane was just hijacked. He doesn't have to say it. So everything is under control. Y2 will upset some people. One good way you can check yourself out as to whether you're going to have any problems or not is to simply take your little computer, if you run on DOS, and type in date. Oh, date. Well, that has to do with Y2K, does it? Yes, it does. Well, then type in January the 27th or 28th, year 2000, and then boot it, chunk it, or turn it down, or pull the plug, or just go down, you know, all the way down with your computer, so that it has to reload everything, and then plug it back in, and if it doesn't explode, no, it won't explode, all right, guarantee it will not explode, but when it comes back up, see if it has the four digits 2000, all right? That means it cranked back up under the whole system with 2000. The next thing probably you should check is leave it there if you can, if it's not a business computer, and make sure the clock still turns it ahead one day at a time. It might be like mine. Mine took it. It operates on it. I've operated on it. I've been in 2000 for over a week now. There's just one problem. I put in February the 23rd, and I cranked it up before I came this morning, and guess what? It's still February the 23rd. It's not advancing on the clock, but the computer, even online, is functioning quite handily with CompuServe and many other things. Okay, so be that as it may, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. People mess up. Those that mess up will mess up with that, too. But those that prepare ahead of time have already got it fixed anyway and are simply smiling And would you believe I saw a commercial this morning on one of the major networks? You should have at least 5 months' water supply set up for your family. Now, if that isn't ridiculous, 5 months' water supply because of computers? What in the world did they do before we got computers for water supply, I wonder? You know, we're fortunate here in the Ozarks. I know where I can go from here, not very far, not dig any holes, and get so much fresh crystal water pouring from the Ozarks that it just would fill you right up, and it hadn't been polluted all that bad yet. All you do is heat up a time or two, and you're all right. Okay, a little bit of acid, maybe. All right, I'm talking about in the water. Okay. Well, anyway, this is all geared, and I am so sure that someone, somewhere, maybe it's old Satan himself, and maybe we Christians like to pass things off on Satan too much. But it would seem to me that somebody has spent an awful lot of money trying to get people to focus on Y2K and put the fear of God in them over it to get them anxious so they're looking the other way while somebody unzips their britches and lets them fall. You understand where I'm coming from? I'm saying there's been a lot of to-do made about nothing till that always makes this old Marine suspicious, all right? Somebody's creating a diversionary action somewhere. And where is it? Well, out of what I'm saying today, I think you'll be able to put it together and watch closer. I'm telling you financially, watch what you're doing. If you can't afford it, friends, you don't need it. All right, you got that? And remember that, or you might get in a little trouble this coming year. Your basket shall be blessed in your store. You're always going to have plenty to get by. That's what it means. 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Hey, you can't ask for a much better deal than that. I know a lot of people that make a trip to Las Vegas, and they think they're blessed when they go in, and they haven't got much when they go out. Okay? Well, make sure that God blesses you, and that when you begin a month, you end up better off than you were when that month started. That's important. All right. Always, you know, keep a set of books. You say, well, I'm not a business. Yes, you are. You're a family business. And you know something? No one, and your checkbook, if you do most of your purchases by a checkbook, you know, whatever. But then that's where you do fall short if you say, well, I'll just play cash, but you lost it there. Keep a set of books, and that way you can better operate. You can function better. It's important. All right? You are a better business-minded person when you do that. And you show somebody that runs a business without keeping a set of books, and I'll tell you somebody that's going to go belly up not far down the road. Do you hear what I said? Show me somebody that runs a business without a set of books, and I'm going to show you somebody that's going belly up, not far down the road. Verse 7, the Lord shall call. Aren't I just full of all good little news today, you know, just passing these things along from life? But this is going to be a year that's, I don't want to say critical, because I don't want to be guilty of somebody's trying to shake everybody up, and there's nothing new under the sun. The computer thing, the only ones that will be in trouble are the knuckleheads. Don't worry about it. They always have trouble anyway. You know. And our deficit, yes, it's going to be rough. But, hey, we're tough people. We can cut it. We've had to do it through many generations. All of the Americas are tough, can-do type people. Just bring it on. We can cut it. We can do it. So tighten the belt. Tighten your old cinch up and be ready to ride. We'll do good. 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Poor old Hussein. Saddam. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. Now, you know, life gives a rough hitch in many ways, and I guess I'll talk current events just a moment. It is really sad that I know that it would appear by the press and many of your certain liberal-minded outlooks that we're giving Hussein a bad deal, and especially the Iraqi people. But how soon Americans forget. Do you remember the village 5,000 gassed by this animal? The puffed bodies of little babies? Those weren't fake. That wasn't a movie. Those were real. I mean, this man is satanic. Who could do a thing like that? I don't know. You figure it out. But he's got to be kept in line. All right. Hey, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses. Now, you thought you had the key, huh? You thought you had the key to your storehouse and you were totally in charge. Let me read that again. And the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand to do unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If your name's on it, it's yours. He'll bless you there. If you're renting it, your name is on it. He'll bless you there. If, there's that little word, isn't that just, it just tears your life up, doesn't it? Well, it doesn't if you follow. If, 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people, or nation, unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if, there it is again, sure enough, verses 9, 13, and 14, respectfully, back up there from verse 2, those ifs just get you, don't they? If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. It's not difficult. You know, reading the commandments and understanding them, but doing the walk is a little different thing. And nobody is perfect within it, but at least put out the effort. He accepts that as good. 10. And all people of the earth, how many, who are we leading out here? I believe it says, all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, that's Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. And to be afraid, sometimes that to respect can even be, if someone respects you, they're in kind of awe of you for the goodness you do. Not necessarily the, it would be fear if you were a bad person, but usually a good people that help people, usually some of the lesser peoples are in awe of that. You could even call it love if you wanted to, but the fact that you're called by the name of Yahweh, what does that mean? If you're called by his name, it means you're married to him or you're his child. Which do you prefer? Or you're both, all right? Call him Ish, husband, Ishva, 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. It was promised for those that would, if, there's that word again, right? If you would follow him. 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Americas have been a blessing to the old countries, basically. All of them. I mean, we all produce more than we can use. And unfortunately, to the farmers in, from Brazil all the way to Canada, sometimes I think most of the giving comes out of their pocket, and I won't push that. They're wonderful people. Farmers are, and they just produce and produce, but I feel like that sometimes, in as much as much of those that food raised has gone to rightfully people that need it, hunger, you know, but recompense has not necessarily favored the farmers of the Americas, but they're tough. They can do tight people. They can cut it. They can handle it. 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken, there's that word if again, see, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded thee this day to observe and to do. You know, there's one thing I can say about the Americas. Wherever you go, you'll probably see more churches. I'm not belittling Europe or anything else, but I mean from the tip of Brazil. What do you see on that highest peak down off the tip of Brazil other than the statue of Christ? You know, am I right? I think I'm right in that. Yeah. And all the way up through, you have some of the most beautiful churches where people, they love the Lord. And are they turning away from it in part? Seemingly so. And I'll even mention, I just see someone from Puerto Rico, birthplace. Even through there, we see churches, you know, people that follow God, you know, that love Him. And certainly they do in Europe also, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, having been pretty well traveled around the world in both good but mostly bad times, unfortunately, war times, I don't think the Americas realize how they're blessed. I don't think they count their blessings the way they really should. God certainly has blessed the Americas, all of them. But you will always be mending nations as long as you do it God's way. 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left. For heaven's sakes, never to the left, friends. To go after other gods to serve them. We have one God, one Father. If you want to be blessed, follow Him. If you want to be cursed, go chase shadows, spooks. 15. And it shall come to pass if thou will not, I want to emphasize, not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. They're not only going to come up on you, they're going to eat you up, these curses. 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. If you do not use intelligence, I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to go very far to see someone cursed in the cities, children killing children, in molestations. It's terrible. Verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. If you're not a good manager, you know, I can remember back when for a good hard 30 days work, you got $30, all right, $30. And that was considered a good job. How far today will your basket go with $30, all right, 4 pounds of butter? You know, boy, our old cow, she'd have been a money maker, you know, back when we didn't have to buy our butter even at that time. But, I mean, $30 won't go anywhere today. So if you don't manage well, sorry, you're going to have a rough 1999. But then, if you don't manage well, I can guarantee you, you had a rough 1998, didn't you? And if you don't manage well, you also had a rough 1997. And so on and so on and so on. You've got, God's Word causes you to manage well if you take His advice. Got it? That's the if. You know, God, when we read that word, blessed, that means He pours it on. He really does. You know, I certainly don't like to use myself as an example in financial things, but I think I will. I think I can use myself as a good analogy of that. I swore before I ever became a teacher, when I observed my mentor was instructed, hey, if you keep teaching that, I'm not going to give you that $1,000 for that auditorium, and it rocked him. I mean, he refused the monies, but I said, Lord, don't you, hey, $1,000 back then was, That was a lot of money, all right, to a church. And I said, Lord, when it came obvious then that I had to teach it, but I didn't have a choice. I said, Lord, I'll do it on one condition, that you bless the works of my hands and my mind, for I will never do it for money. I will never take a dime salary because I won't have anybody telling me what to do. Not man. You, I'll listen. Man, no way. At the same time, that's the reason I always take questions and allow questions after each time I teach, because of that very reason. I'm going to teach it the way I feel best, but I feel you, as the listener, have the right to say, document it. All right? Or at least question it. I just want you to be kind. That's all. But anyway, I have never taken a salary, and I've taught for a lot of years. As a matter of fact, I've been full-time for a lot of years to what some preachers are. You know, a lot of preachers, 30 minutes once a week, that's it, buddy, saddle up, go home and make a few visits, and that's it. Well, I teach every day on national television, practically, otherwise here. When am I going to make a living? Well, God sees to it. Everything I touch just blossoms. Some might say, wow, that's a lot of money. No, it isn't, but it's cornbread and beans. I guarantee you, all I can eat. And you're in a new car most of the time. And the stock market, I just get my jingles, you know, of being smarter than the serpent and outsmarting him and making goodies there. You know, it's interesting. What I'm saying is God can put holes in your road or he can pave it. I like that, don't you? Many of you that have had to drive country roads, you'll especially appreciate it. God can put holes in your road or he can pave it of life. And I don't know, which do you choose? The big if is up to you, all right? If you want to elevate yourself above God to say, I can do better than that. Well, go ahead. Have a try. Prove it to yourself. But I hope you don't go so far off course that pretty soon the ifs can't line you out. Because those curses are pretty tough, you know. 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Everything's going to fall apart on you. You're barely going to be able to make it. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. See, it's just the opposite. You've got a choice. Who wants to be cursed? Well, I didn't know God cursed people. Well, you're reading it right here, friend. He's talking to you. 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Just leave him out of your life and give yourself a new middle name, Forsaken. It'll fit real good, all right? And God's not fooling around. He's very serious about this. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. One more and we stop. I mean, I'm not going to quit, but I'm going to quit this chapter, all right? This one is one you want to look around you today. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. You know what that means? Just a wasting away. Have you ever seen someone, unfortunately, many of us do, with cancer? You know, we just waste away. Or with, what about your immune system? And with a fever, that's one that your immune system can't fight off. HIV is an example. Have you ever seen it? And with an inflammation. And with an extreme burning. And with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. The burning fever will take you to the deathbed. Hey, you know, now some say, ooh, that is really bad. No, if you'll stick with it, You don't even have to worry about those things, other than using common sense. The choice is yours. So we come to a year, the year of our Lord, 1999, Anno Domini, A.D. It's an interesting year, but nothing is new, and you shouldn't get all excited. Just get sharper. Be alert. Be awake. And you're not going to have any problems if you choose God's way. Don't let something else dim your focus. So many people do. You know, I could have brought that Oxford letter today and we could have really, you know, just worked ourselves up something ferocious like. You know, because it's really hateful what they're trying to do. But it doesn't apply to us. We're not going to have any part of it. And their so-called evolution of letting the believers in salvation die like the dinosaur is a bunch of trot. All right? Pure. It's not going to happen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what does your calendar say? All right, now, I mean, if you'd be a Christian, or what does your calendar say? The year of our Lord, 1999. In other words, the date was set by Him. So it is important. Whether anyone accepts that or not, it's still a fact. So there's no one going to blot that out, is my point. And no one is going to blot out the Old Testament or Judaism for those that have hung to the Torah, that have hung to the Word. Nobody's going to, they can't blot that out just because the calendar changed to the year 2000. It's not going to happen. So don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? And this is our first cruise in this lifetime. All right? By that I mean, we're only going through here once. So don't let them see you sweat. Just take names and kick dragon, all right? Can-do type people. We choose, yes, we choose the ifs to serve God and consider it a pleasure. Because it is a pleasure. Why? It's a blessing. Hey, those cursings are over on that side. I don't want anything to do with them. So I'm going to say thank you, Father, for giving us light. All right, for giving us eyes to see truth. And stay away from the cursings. It hurts. It's bitter. And it's a terrible life. I don't even call it a life. When it's so simple to be successful. I want to leave you with some very short scriptures for the year of our Lord, 1999. And I'm not going to sing to you, but and you're very fortunate there. But I am going to read you a psalm, a psalm, okay? The very first one. And I might even, if I have time here, read you a second one, and it just so happens I do have that time. Anytime you need comfort through this year, when things seem to close in around you, I want you to remember this psalm. I want you to remember the second psalm, and I want you to remember the third one. Just sit down in a place all alone after you've taken care of the ifs, and concentrate and meditate upon these psalms, for they are indeed true and very comforting. Book of Psalms, Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that's to say the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I mean, God's going to bless you. That's His promise. Do you want to be blessed or not? This is how you do it. But His delight, this is what He really enjoys. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Not some religious fanatic, but thinking any time a decision is made to apply that to God's advice. And most often when you take God's advice, you're going to be in good shape. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I wish all of you had an opportunity sometime in your life to be in a desert land that's got a beautiful stream running through it and see the greenness that that river brings. What has God said to you? I love the way he uses analogies because you can just picture it. Those trees are just so beautiful and they got plenty of water when those little old scrubs right off out of sight about there are nothing. I mean, they're little old twisted, gnarled things. And here stands this one by the brink, just growing up. And the old, let's take a willow tree, and its old leaves just bending down. It's so heavy with leaves, and it's weeping because it's overblessed. I'm teasing. It was a weeping willow. All right, the Irish is beginning to come forth as I'm getting into this. All right, but you can be that way in your life, dear one. You can be blessed like that. Focus on God's Word, and for heaven's sakes, don't let man shake you up. Focus. Concentrate. And trust your Father. He's going to handle everything fine. There's nothing new under the sun, and we can deal with it. It's all written about, and we can handle it. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Just whoosh, when they're gone. Hey, you don't want to be like that. You want to be solid, stable. Why? Because you're on a foundation that is solid and stable. You don't shake. Therefore, verse 5, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Hang on to the word congregation. I'm going to call on it a minute. That's the subject as we hit it there. 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Chapter 2, but the thought doesn't change. We're still talking about assembly. Why do the heathen rage in their assemblies, all right? Why do they do that in their gatherings, in their churches? And the people imagine a vain thing, an empty thing. And I'm going to tell you something, quite frankly. When I turn on the evening news, and when I listen to what people are worried about and the advice they're being given, naturally this guy was selling 10-gallon water containers and candles and, you know, and food that you might or might not eat that you could store to keep 6 months, you know, because of Y2K. You know, like the computer was going to cause the world to end or this age instead of our father. And people, it's literally shaking some people. That's childish. It's foolery. And adults, educated people, who would almost seem like the better educated they are, the more shook they are. That's kind of sad, isn't it? I think so. I really do, because it means somewhere along the way, somebody way down at the bottom took the common sense spigot and opened it. And the common sense poured out. Because there's nothing new happening. It's all rhetoric. Like the Euro dollar. If you could get 11 nations to all operate on one currency, you know, taking into consideration Social Security, retirement interests, and so on and so forth, you've done something. That's fantastic. That's real unity. I know man pretty well, and if I were you, don't count that as a done deal quite yet, even though they say it is. I mean, let's put it this way. I want to see it work, all right, and then I'll make my judgment, all right? How about you? Do you see what I'm saying? There's nothing to fear other than fear itself. Nothing to get shook about, but to just be shaken in the assembly. Why do they mutter vain things, empty things? I don't know. There's a reason. Satan probably knows. Verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. What do they say? 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.
Just get away from them.
4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. When you try to get away from God, that's what he does. He laughs. The Lord shall have them in derision. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. When you listen to the boob tube, in this day, even this night, and if you think they're not in derision, you're not quite awake yet, friend. Because there's some funny things going on. When you see grown, educated people shook up about Y2K, you would think it was a new disease. I don't know why they call it a bug, but it isn't a bug in the first place. It was just a lack of correct programming. All right? Maybe, I'll tell you one thing, it's an expensive bug. And boy, some people are getting well healed over it. So, you know, you don't want to take that out of it. Anyway, 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. He's not happy with what's happening. Why? Well, do you blame him? He sent along this set of instructions that we're supposed, the world is supposed to be following. And I would dare say that, I don't know, I doubt that in the Oval Office if we have a set of these commands. Now, I'm not sure. There have been in the past, but it would seem that you never know what's happening in the Oval Office. Okay? But that's what we're supposed to be following. Verse 6, is that where we got to? Okay, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I never forget that word begotten. It's important, very important. The verse 8. There are other beliefs, and it's not one of the main beliefs. If someone thinks I'm thinking about Judaism, you're wrong. That says that this is blasphemy to say God would have begotten someone, be that as it may. 8. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the nations, better translated, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Boy, what a promise. You know, if people just chose right, and we're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, but the people get shook too easy, do they not? 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, with what? Serve the Lord with fear, that's with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You need to remember that one verse. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Don't put it in man. Certainly don't put it in this man or any other man. Put your trust in your Father. We have one God. He is our Father. And that you ask in the begotten is notice taken. Don't forget the ifs. People just like to read. It's like from a child. You give a child a cake with a beautiful frosting, and they lick that frosting off first. Well, don't just take the frosting. Take the it, for it truly is the spiritual frosting. It's that part where you must meet your requirements to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. And you know what? Probably most of all, you want to be blessed. And it's so easy to choose right. But never let it be said, you make the choice. No one else does. You know, people like to blame, Well, I'd have been all right, but you know, the teachers in school made me really, you know, my old pro, he just didn't have it. No, you don't have it. You didn't have it. Man is always wanting to blame somebody else for his own stupidity. So always choose right. If you trust God, He's going to take care of you. All right? So, with that having been said, the year of our Lord, 1999, is going to be an interesting year. Quick recap, just in passing. Our deficit will give us more problems by fall than any other one item, most likely, that is right at this moment seen on the surface. That deficit has to do with the fact of the Asian flu and a few other incidents. Our military at this time, though they are respected, and our commander-in-chief has the world, and I'm not joking now, some of the world is a little concerned about our commander-in-chief, because whatever you may think of it, they look for America as the rock of stability, and it looks a little shaky now. So that's going to shake some people up. I feel that it's going to be a good year if you make it so, but it's not going to be a real prosperous year because of the deficit, unless we really put this nation deeper in debt. All right. Only one can save the other or stop the other. So play, just be real careful, nothing to fear. Y2K will not, it will be probably the most disappointing thing. People will worry all year. And then nothing's going to happen, and they'll say, my worry stopped it. Yeah. The Y2K doesn't amount to a hill of beans, all right? Airplanes will not fall out of the sky. So don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? You know, nothing is impossible. Take it from this old Marine, where there were 12,000 of us cut off, and we had 120,000 armed Chinese all around us. It would have been real easy to say, it's 30 below zero, and I'm cold, and I want to go home. I'm just going to give up and let them ship me. Well, the ones that did that ended up in a box. We fought our way out. Well, you're kind of in a condition like that today, where it takes a little toughness sometimes to show people you got a little bit of brass. Because it's not a bad year, and there's nothing out there that's going to eat you. So you just keep taking names and kicking dragon, and choosing right, and you're going to have a real good year. You know why? Every year is a good year for those that trust the Lord. It's that simple. All right, Father, we thank you for the written word. Thank you for the privilege of serving, Father, of being a servant. Watch over, guide, and direct. Bless throughout this year. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible.